Take your Bibles this evening, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians. And we are at chapter 3. We're going to touch a little bit on chapter 3 tonight. We'll come back in future weeks to look at it further. But tonight we are going to specifically looking at some verses in chapter 4. You know, the gospel is powerful. About a month or two ago, I was reading this story, I believe it's a true story, of the conversion of Andrew Dunn. And this man lived in Ireland, you know, grew up as a Catholic. And I believe there was a lady that was hand out New Testaments to people. Well, this man, from reading the New Testament, came to salvation, came to the Lord, and was amazingly saved. And by studying the Word of God, it was amazing the beliefs that he came to. And this man actually, you know, came to the Catholic priest and was giving the Catholic priest all these different reasons from the Word of God why what this Catholic priest believed, you know, was false. And this man, you know, I think he was going to the Catholic Church. Well, he ended up getting out of the Catholic Church. Basically, you know, this is without any, you know, anyone telling him what to do, is from reading the Word of God, and basically started a church in his own home, just to show the power of prayer. As we speaking of how we need to be praying for our missionaries. One night this man was having, you know, family devotions. I don't think anyone told him, you know, he's supposed to have family devotions. But he's having family devotions with his family. And that night, the Catholic Church had thrown him out of the Catholic Church. I think the priest probably said some unkind words about him in the church. But anyways, it was a man that had a grudge against this man, Andrew Dunn. He was coming that night, I think, with the intention of probably killing him. I don't know exactly what he was going to do, but to do harm to the man. And as he got to the door, Andrew Dunn was in family devotions, and I believe they were spending time in prayer. And in fact, I believe he was praying for even his enemies at that time. And the man put his, you know, had his ear on the door, I believe, and heard him praying, and got a hold of this man's heart that was coming to do him harm. And the man, I believe, came in. I don't know if he got saved, you know, that night, but he got saved eventually, and God did a wonderful thing. You know, but the gospel is powerful. You know, prayer is powerful. Nathan said in his video, he said that my vision is to see the power of the gospel change lives. You know, God intends for the ministry of the gospel to be a glorious ministry. He doesn't intend for the gospel ministry to be a failure. When the gospel ministry is done the proper way, it is something powerful that cannot be stopped. But it must be done the way that God intends for it to be done. It must be done God's way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find a description of how the gospel ought to be given. Well, not necessarily given, but really we find a characteristic of the whole gospel ministry as we take a look into the life of the Apostle Paul. And he's dealing with the Corinthian church and dealing with one of the, some of them were doubting his sincerity, doubting some things concerning the Apostle Paul. And here the Apostle Paul is giving them the ministry, declaring unto them really the ministry that God had given him. And in verse number 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And we find, first of all, that God intends the ministry of the gospel to be something that does not stop, something that we do not give up on, something that we do not quit while we are in the midst of it. You know, there are a lot of missionaries that go forth. Maybe it's a lack of prayer support. Maybe it's something else. But many times they get discouraged and they come home. You know, but God intends for the gospel ministry to be something that does not stop. Now, how does this take place? In verse 4, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Well, what is that ministry? Well, you have to go back to chapter number 3 to understand the ministry that was given. And in chapter 3, Paul shows the glorious nature of the ministry of the gospel. All right, and he compares it to the ministry that Moses had and how God gave him the law. And then he compares that to the ministry of justification that he had been given. He says in verse number 7, he says, but if the ministration of death written in chapter 3, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So when Moses came down from the mountain and his face shone and his, you know, had to be covered with the veil, and the Apostle Paul is saying, if this ministration of death was glorious, how much more is the ministration of life, the ministration of righteousness, of justification by faith, rather glorious? And tonight, if we are going to stay faithful in the ministry of the gospel, supporting our missionaries at home, being faithful to the ministry of the gospel, we must recognize the glorious message that God has entrusted for us to give out. He says in verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory. What was the law? Well, it was the what? Our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. What did it do? Well, it showed us our sin. It condemned us. If that ministration was glorious, it says, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. It says, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. So he's saying that glory is like nothing compared to the glorious message that we have been given to give out. You know, you read through as the God gave the law, and as God spoke from the mountain, and the different glorious acts that took place on that mount. And now Paul is saying, this message that we have been given makes that covenant seem nothing compared to the glorious nature of the message that we have been given. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how He can set men free from their darkness. And you know, tonight, we need to recognize the fact that we have given up maybe tonight. Maybe you have given up because you have forgotten the glorious nature of the message that you have been given. You know, tonight, if something wonderful happened to you, something amazing happened, maybe it was on the way to church, you know, and you're driving, you know, on the way to church, and maybe, you know, you're driving all along, and, you know, speaking about Africa, you know, you see there's six giraffes just sitting out in the field. You know, there are six giraffes, and they're out there, out in the field, and they start walking to the road. Maybe you get out, you know, you're going to snap some pictures, and they come walking up to you, and then there's a herd of, you know, there's some elephants coming, and, I mean, that would be what? Well, that would be amazing. I mean, it'd be, like, unheard of around here. And what would you be doing? Well, you'd probably be telling people about it, is my guess, when you got to church, and probably people wouldn't believe you because of how amazing it was. You know, I know Bo was showing people this morning a picture of a bald eagle that he saw over in East Troy, and I think he was able to get about a few feet away from this bald eagle. Yeah, and so what was he doing? He's telling people about it. You know, if we tonight would recognize the amazing message that God has given to us to give out, we wouldn't what? We wouldn't give up in giving out that message that we have been given. You know, tonight, do you recognize the glorious nature of the message that you've been given? You know, the dark continent of Africa can be set free by what? The glorious light of the gospel of Christ. We need to remember the nature of the message that we have been entrusted with. So he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, the Apostle Paul recognized that this message was not something in and of himself. This was not a ministry that he had because of how great he was. You know, if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was a humble man who realized the mercy and grace of God in his life. You know, we will faint in the giving out of the message when we begin to develop pride in our lives that we are something, we are somebody that has some sort of ability to give out this message. He says in verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He recognized the mercy that he had obtained of God, the grace that was exceedingly abundant in his life. You know, tonight we must remember the working of the gospel in our lives. And the only reason we have any ability to give it out is not because of anything of our own, but because of the mercy of God that has been present in our lives. You know, the book of 2 Corinthians, how did it start out? Well, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? The Father of mercies. Chapter 1, verse 3, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We have a God of mercy. And we need to keep that in mind as we remember the message that God has entrusted us with. The fact that God has given us this message to give out is a merciful and gracious act on his part. And we ought to take full usage of that privilege that we have been given. So Paul recognized the glorious nature of the ministry that he had been given. He recognized that this was nothing of his own doing, but it was only according to the mercy of God. You know, tonight, are we in that state of humility? It's not me. You know, it's so easy for us to start thinking that we're something, that we have, you know, some ability, and to start, you know, to want the attention to be on us, when the only reason we have anything is because of the mercy of God. As we have received mercy, what was the outcome of that realization? He says, we what? We faint not. We don't quit. We don't turn out a coward. We don't lose courage. We don't give up in the face of the battle. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, what I am. Paul was able to continue to press forward. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we looked at, I believe, his last message. Now thanks be unto God, which what? Which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Because we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't give up in the face of opposition. We don't lose courage. We don't turn around as cowards with our heads down, wondering what's taking place. You know, if you've ever been in a situation, maybe you're playing a game of some sort, and you lose really badly. Or maybe you made some sort of a business proposition, and maybe it's the husband, and you made some sort of a business proposition, and you thought it was going to be really good, and it turned out to be a total failure. You know, and you got to come and tell your wife about it. And you're what? Well, you're maybe hanging your head down. You're ashamed at what has taken place. But with the gospel message, this is not something we have to hang our heads down in. Yes, there's going to be a battle. Yes, there's going to be opposition. But there does not have to be a fainting. There does not have to be a quitting in the midst of that message. And then in verse 2, he explains how he did not have to use different methods in order to win the battle. And God intends the gospel ministry, the gospel minister, to use the right methods. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, or the hidden things that are shameful. Paul put them aside. He didn't have to give up the glorious nature of the gospel and its power for some other method that the world was saying would work. You know, there are so many, you know, methods or, you know, salesmen's pitches that are out there, different ways that the world can convince somebody to buy something. You know, they get to the end of their spiel and they say, you know, how many do you want? You know, not, you know, do you want this? You know, but how many do you want? You know, they're different tactics of how they're going to get you to buy something. Well, that's not the gospel. We don't need those tactics. The gospel is powerful, and God has given us the ability that we need to go forth with this message. He says he's renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He has to disown them. To spurn, to have scorn towards those things. Wasn't something, they weren't things that were appealing to him. You know, we have too many, you know, young fundamentalists today that are allured by the new methods of the world that are out there. But the Apostle Paul had no desire for those things. He renounced them. And that's what we need today, is people that are commit themselves to be faithful to the real gospel ministry, to renounce those things that are shameful, to want to not have anything to do with those things that will only bring shame to the real gospel ministry. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He didn't have to use subtle ways, so to speak, to try to convince people. You know, it's so easy today to become ashamed of the message that God has given to us and to fall into the trap of trying to be real subtle in our proclamation of the message. It's easy. I mean, I think I find myself doing the same thing. You know, but we don't have to be ashamed of what God has given us. You know, the Apostle Paul did not feel compelled in the least bit to be subtle in the giving forth of the message of salvation. It says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He didn't have to try to proclaim his message to be something other than what it was. But what was it? We find here that a true gospel minister will give what? A clear presentation of the truth. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He was committed to revealing the truth in an open manner. You know, we have, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than what? Than any two-edged sword. You know, the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, we don't have to take the sharp two-edged sword that God has given to us and, you know, dull the blade and make it blunt and lose its effectiveness. You know, but Paul was going to keep the truth sharp. He wasn't going to water it down. He wasn't going to dilute it with another substance. But he was commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Boy, what a statement to live up to. You know, can we say that of our lives, that we have given the gospel message that clearly to each individual? There's really nothing that we have, so to speak, to answer to them. Their conscience, speaking so that every man's conscience shall bear its testimony that we proclaim the truth of God. That when we give the message, people understand that that is the truth. You know, we haven't covered it up, but they know that that's the truth. You know, that when people walk into this building, they might not like the message, but they'll go away saying, you know what, that's the truth. Verse number 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, obviously, if somebody does not know the gospel message, they are somebody that are what? Well, somebody that is lost, somebody that is perishing. And, you know, we can make the point, well, we better not hide our gospel message. But here, Paul makes the statement, he says, if our gospel be hid. Well, Paul's gospel was what? Well, the way Paul had presented it, it was not hid. It was out in the open. All right? So Paul's message was out in the open, was something that people saw. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or them that are perishing, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And here we find that we are going to face opposition in the giving out of the gospel. And to some people, that message is going to be hid. Why? Well, for some people, it's hid because believers aren't giving it to them. You know, hopefully we aren't the tools that Satan is using to blind their eyes. Obviously, what a shameful thing. But even as we give out the message, we are what? We are facing opposition because Satan is there seeking to what? To blind their eyes to the light of the gospel. And he said their family verse was Acts 13:47 to be a what? To be a light to the Gentiles. I think they said in another spot there's deep spiritual darkness in Africa. Well, why? Because Satan is blinding people's eyes. This is a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual oppressor. There is a spiritual enemy. It's not just a physical battle of going to South Africa. And, you know, if we just are able, you know, to set up a certain program, it's going to be a success. No, this is a spiritual battle. And the right, you know, the giving forth of the gospel needs to take place, and there needs to be an organization in, you know, and they talked about that and going to these different schools, but we need to understand that this is a spiritual battle that they are in. And we must support them. You know, in Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul asked the brethren there, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye what? That ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So it says, and for the love of the Spirit. Now there is a common bond that we have because of the same Holy Spirit that is in each one of our lives, and we need to pray. We need to be praying. In Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul asks for what? It's a familiar verse. He says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." You know, what did he say in verse number 2? "But by manifestation of the truth." And he's asking that it might be made manifest. Praying that they can give a clear message of the gospel. Praying that they will be delivered from men who would seek to oppose the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul faced great opposition from the Jews when he went out. And in Romans chapter 15, we just read, what was he requesting? Well, he was requesting protection from those that would seek to hinder his ministry, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. You know, Paul went to Jerusalem, and the what? The Jews didn't like what he did. He went to other places. The Jews didn't like what he did. And the gospel message is going to face opposition because Satan does not like it. He wants to keep people in the realm of darkness. You know, when we send a missionary off, it's not just, hey, they've got the message and they're going to do great. And, you know, 1 year from now, they're going to come back and there's going to be a great report and everything's going to go fine. Well, there's some prayer that needs to go in. There's some support. There's what? There is a battle that is going to be waged. But we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know, they mention that in Africa, there's what? Thousands of years of darkness. There are strongholds of Satan. You know, we think in our own land, we look at the darkness that is in our own land. Well, think of that darkness for years and years and years. You know, think of where our country would be and the course that we are in 100 years from now. Or 200. Or 300. We think it's bad now. Well, imagine. You think of some of the tribalism and some of the demonic activity. And the darkness that is in that land because of the stronghold that Satan has had. And you think that Satan's just going to give up that place lightly? You know, we heard a report on Kenya and how there's what? Well, there's, you know, the charismatic movement has, you know, taken over the land. You know, and you hear, if you've, you know, been able to talk to the missionaries some or get a sense of what's going on there, that the difficulty is to see what? To see that Christianity really take root in those people. And really see that Christianity take root in a family. You know, going on to the next generation and to see, like Brother Halstead was saying last week, see a godly culture established. It's a stronghold. A real gospel witness is going to what? It's going to face opposition. You know, and what are we going to do about that opposition that is going to be faced? Can't give up. You know, it's easy to pray sometimes. You know, somebody's just left and boy, you start praying. But you know, there needs to be perseverance in prayer. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 18, the spiritual armor in the battle against the forces of evil, the forces of sin, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that perseverance. Are we going to commit ourselves to perseverance in prayer so that the forces of evil can be brought down? Because what is Satan seeking to hinder? Well, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, the last thing Satan wants is for the country of Africa to become the country, the land of light. He wants it to stay a land of darkness. He wants the United States of America, he wants the town of Maquanago to stay in darkness. But the only one that can dispel that darkness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul recognized that. He wasn't going around, you know, proclaiming himself. He wasn't going around proclaiming his greatness. He was going around proclaiming Christ. You know, you wonder, these big mega churches nowadays, who are the preachers really proclaiming? Verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's what it comes down to. Who are we proclaiming? You know, why are you serving God? Why are you serving other people? Paul wasn't serving them so they could say, whoa, look at the Apostle Paul. You know, look at all the great and kind deeds. Look at all the sacrifices he has made in our behalf. No, he said, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And we're just going to speed through this here a little bit. But he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that dispels darkness. And how does that take place? Well, it says to give the light of the what? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as people find out about Jesus Christ, faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the message that we must be committed to. You know, what do you find? Who did they preach in the book of Acts? Well, they preached Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse number 7, I wanted to briefly touch on this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here's the Apostle Paul. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul, the great witness, a man of God, used to start so many churches, to spread the gospel. And yet he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, these brittle vessels. You know, there are valuable vessels, there are weak vessels. You know, Timothy talks about the different types of vessels. And God, in his plan, has chosen us human beings, the weak, brittle vessels that we are. You know, how quickly we can go down. How quickly we can get injured. But why has God chosen to use human vessels that are weak to convey such a glorious message? Well, it is so that the power might be of who? Might be of God. So that God might get the glory in everything that we do. You know, tonight we need to take a step back. We need to understand the frailty of our bodies. We need to understand our lack of ability. We need to see ourselves for who we really are. Sinners saved by the mercy and grace of God. And realize that we have been entrusted with this message so that God might receive the glory, that everything that was done was because of God. And you know, Nathan made the comment this morning in church, you know, missionaries are, we're just humans like you are. And you know what? They need that spiritual power that can only come from God if there is going to be a successful work accomplished for God in South Africa. And the fact is that the stronger this church is back home, the stronger that church will be in South Africa. Why? Well, because it is only through the power of God that the work of God can be established. Now, how are we going to pray if we don't have God's power? How are we going to support the work of God that must be accomplished in His power? We must understand we are simply earthen vessels, brittle, frail. You know, we're not some great valuable commodity, so to speak. Now, in God's eyes, we are. But what we're made of, you know, maybe if you've gotten some special things put in your mouth, maybe you're worth a little bit more. But, you know, we are earthen vessels. But we have the great potential, the great value. Why? Because of the value that God has placed upon our lives. Why do we have great potential? Of what? God's power being channeled through us. But we must remember it's not ours. It's His. And it has the power of breaking through these chains of sin, the darkness of sin, the strongholds of Satan, so that souls might be rescued and glory might be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that story that I was reading of Andrew Dunn, this Catholic priest that he had sought to, you know, really to witness to, had refused the gospel and was on his deathbed. And Andrew Dunn came once again to the man's deathbed, and basically it seemed like the man died in really turmoil and wasn't a good death. But this other man that was his enemy, that had gotten saved, died as well, and his death really was a sweet passing into glory. And really, I think the book was kind of contrasting the two men and how they died. You know, the power of the gospel changes lives. Not just the present circumstances of their lives, but has the power to change their lives for all eternity. And what an important work that God has chosen for us, that He might receive the glory. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, and that in Your mercy and Your grace, You reached down and saved us. Lord, how easy it is for us to forget what You have done in our lives. Lord, we thank You tonight for the service that we've been able to have as we send off Nathan and Laura to South Africa. Lord, this ministry is not just something that You've given to them, but this is a ministry that You've given to each one of us that are saved. Lord, I pray that tonight we might be renewed in our commitment to the message that You have entrusted us with, that we might get a vision, Lord, for the glorious nature of the message that we have, the powerful message that has been entrusted with us. Lord, I pray that we would not take such a wonderful message and dilute it with the false messages that are out there, or succumb to the pressures around us to think that we'll have more results if we mix it or use some other unbiblical means to present this message, but we would recognize it for what it truly is. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that opposition that's going to be faced in the giving out of this message, and that we as a church, Lord, would uphold Nathan and Laura in prayer and their family. Lord, I pray that not only would we apply this message to the work that You want to accomplish in Africa, but Lord, that we would apply these things to the work that You want to accomplish in this place. And Lord, that we would go from here tonight realizing that in and of ourselves we are nothing. Lord, that we are frail. But Lord, that when we recognize that, Lord, then Your power can be channeled through our lives. Because Lord, it is only right that You would receive all the glory for the work that only You can accomplish. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, do you recognize the strongholds of Satan that they will be, that Nathan and Laura will be facing in South Africa? You know that Satan doesn't want this work to go forward. He wants people to stay in darkness. And he's going to be doing everything he can to keep people in darkness. You know, are you going to be committing, will you commit yourself to upholding them in prayer? You know, beyond that, will you be a person that can pray and have God's power in prayer, so that prayer will truly accomplish something for God? You know, is God working in your life? Paul, the Apostle Paul, recognized he needed people praying for him. You know, I don't know exactly how the Lord would work in your life in that area, but we need to, you know, it's not just about sending them out and taking care of financial things, but those things are important, but it's important that we lift them up in prayer. And that we don't forget. You know, we are forgetful people. It's so easy to forget. And I don't, you know, maybe my pastor will be, you know, led maybe to further to what you might commit yourself to doing. But I wonder, you know, how many tonight God is working in your life, realizing the spiritual darkness and the power that is needed to defeat that darkness, and you recognize tonight that God is calling you to uphold them in prayer, and would like to commit yourself to doing that tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight? God is working in your life to that end. All right, you may put those hands down. You know, maybe tonight the need is in your life. Maybe you've been fainting in the giving out of this message. Maybe it's been more about you rather than about Christ. And you need to submit yourself to the plan of the gospel that God has for your life. I wonder tonight, maybe you're unsaved and you say, you know what? I need to put my faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. And that's the need of my life to be saved. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is working your life in that area. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would work, continue, Lord, to work in our lives, and that you might receive the honor and glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.